first time in the air.
Brand new, my eye. You know, I threw that song out of Yip Yip Yap Hank 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a week 35 of the Republic Roundtable, March the 8th, 2012. This is a sound check. Rick, can you hear me?
Yes, Robert, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. We do have some feedback in the line.
Okay, have you gone to lecture mode so that we can mute out the extras?
Okay, very good. Well, we've had lots of technical challenges this week in the Republic. My email has been down since like Thursday or Friday. What do we got going there, Rick? Okay, good.
How's that? Better?
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, you did good. So our email server's been down. Perhaps we'll have Rick or someone explain that to us here once we get started. We haven't been able to send the email out to all of you, so we apologize for that. We just trust that those are regular. We know that we hold the call every Thursday evening. So as we get started this evening, I would like to invite Justice Gorla. I saw you on the call here. If I can unmute you, or Rick, if you can, I'd like you to open us a word of prayer. I see it. I've got it. Justice Gorla, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'd be happy to do so. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much, sir.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, as always, your humble servants, asking your wisdom and knowing that you will grant us the abundance that we need in our lives, though it may not be what we desire. We thank you for the wisdom that you granted Solomon at his request, being his only request, making him the wisest person ever to walk the face of the earth, of course, saving yourself. We ask wisdom like Solomon so that we will be humble, obedient, and observant of your law and of the rights of the people. Because as sovereigns granted by you on earth, we must respect the rights of the others in order to live in honor. And that's what being a sovereign is about, with no one to serve but ourselves. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Justice Gorla. And you know, while we're in a time of prayer and reflection, I would like to lift up those in our republic who are having health challenges, those whose families are having health challenges. So I'd just like us to pause for a moment to just send our prayers and our uplift those like Jeff Smith, like Laura Murphy's mother, like a number of folks who are just challenged in the physical, and we just pray God's blessing and a healing upon them tonight.
Robert, if I may, Justice Gorla.
Please.
I would correct myself in that I said that we had no one to serve but ourselves when I meant we have no one to govern but ourselves. Thank you, and I yield the floor.
Okay, thanks for the clarification on that. So Laura was going to be on our board this evening as Janine is attending a EFT seminar up in Oregon, and Laura's mom has turned six, so Rick Weiner has graciously stepped forward and is taking the board this evening. So Rick, while we're on that topic, could you talk to us a little bit about what happened with our technology this week?
Yes, sir, I can. The host monster contacted us at about 4:30 on Monday afternoon. Some of you may not know the technical terms, but what they do in these large hosting sites is they have an array of about five or more hard drives all stacked up. And the idea is if one of those hard drives goes down, which is what happened on our portion, the other four step up to do everything that they're supposed to. But in this case, instead of the drive just setting it off to the side, it actually crashed. They had to physically replace the drive. And then once they do that, the other four drives get busy and do what's called replicating and bring all five of them back to the same status that they were. Unfortunately, they had quite a few problems in getting that done. It took them 3 days. I think it was as late as 4:30 yesterday before they actually got it to where our emails were able to go back and forth to people. Luckily, the system with the other four hard drives did capture all of the emails that came in. So what I'm having to do is just work with several people. Robert, for instance, hasn't been able to get the questions or the emails to himself at r.zulaga. We're going to have to repair those on an individual basis on computers because sometimes the passwords get messed up, and we're going back through as quickly as we can to get all those situated. But any that sent emails to questions or r.zulaga or any of us with the last part that says republicoftheunitedstates.org, I can assure you that they are still there. We went and looked in several areas, and they were coming in regularly, just not going to the appropriate people. So that's the update on the email server, sir.
Very good. So some of our questions we do have that we can resurrect up until March the 1st. So I have those in Outlook and can access some of those for your questions. I want to talk about, just as we're getting started here, we have a few guests. Some are uncertain and unconfirmed. Once again, it's the email issue. But we should have the president on tonight. We may have Justice Peachy on. Jim Fitzgerald will be invited on the call to talk about to talk to treasurers and comptrollers and budgets. And we hope to have the South Carolina speaker, Matthew Phillips, on to talk about the ASR. And we had hoped to be able to bring the report from the Armed Services Committee on the Ranger program, which was which they reviewed this week, or last week, should I say. And the Armed Services Committee is setting a precedent. It was very exciting. They invited me to audit the call, and they're going to make their calls and their recordings and their summaries available. So it's like they're wanting one more step towards transparency. And they actually were going to have the portion recorded so we could listen to the summary and listen to what their whole conversation was regards the Ranger program. But once again, we have technical issues this week, so if you bear with us, perhaps we will get to that next week. All right, Rick, on the board, and we also have a potential of having Gene Exum on, and that's all I have. So it's really dependent on what you find on the board and the lineup that we have there, who we're going to take first.
Very good, sir. I see the president is on now and unmuted. Mr. President, you're there, and we'll turn it over to you, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Rick. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to the people. I apologize. I missed a few calls. I've been a little under the weather. I'm doing much better now. Went to a clinic, had some blood work done to see what kind of thing is going on in my lungs, but I'm doing much better. Having some kind of lung infection that keeps reoccurring and has been for the last 6 months or so, but it's finally got to the point where I had to do something about it. In my crazy schedule, I don't rest enough, and that's what's been going on, but I'm doing great. I am not in the hospital. That was rumor going around today. I'm not in the hospital. I'm not in the morgue, so it's a great day.
Any day 6 foot above ground. Or 6 foot.
Yeah, every day above ground is a good day.
There you
go. Anyway, I'm feeling much better, and I thank you for the prayers and appreciate all the hard work. I'm pleased with what's going on in the country. A lot of the states are coming together now and growing. Many of them are growing very quickly, exponentially. We had a few states that were having some issues, and we went down and talked with them and explained a few things that were going on in the Republic and some things that they needed to do. Most of the states are responding well and doing well now. Still have a few issues out there, as we always will. But the for the most part, we're moving forward, and that's a good thing. There's still a lot of negative stuff, as you'll find, but it's I don't understand why anybody even listens to that foolishness anymore. But there is some still going on, and it's likely to continue. But just pay attention to the source and ask for the facts, because when they have to produce the facts, they can't. And that's the problem out here, is that people are listening to unfounded information. And but the people are starting to ask, you know, bring forth your proof. You know, as I've told everybody, these blogs and these emails going around about all the terrible things that we're doing and all, there's an open investigation. If you have evidence to that fact, bring it forward to the investigation. You're welcome to submit it in there and have it reviewed by an independent grand jury. Been waiting for 8 months for any evidence to be put into that case. Not one document has been submitted yet. Although there are people out there on these blogs claim they've got all kind of evidence, none's been submitted. I just don't understand why we keep hearing these crazy unfounded rumors, and that's what they are, and they're false, absolutely false rumors. There's no truth in it. But anyway, I'm very pleased that most of the people in the Republic are beginning to start asking for the proof of these claims, and when they do, the folks are just going away because they don't have any. And so if you ask for proof, they just take you off the email list. Well, pretty soon they won't have an email list if everybody will do that. So that's basically what their tactic is when they get approached, they can't answer, and so they just remove you, so you're not in contact with them anymore. And that's basically been the strategy lately. So I'm thankful for the prayers of the people. We've had a lot of issues to deal with. That's true over the last year. But I can see the hand of God moving in this republic in a great mighty way. And he has done so many wonderful things. And I'll be glad when we can sit down and share everything that's going on. I can say that the nation of China is recognizing us now. We are officially being recognized by China and some other nations. And we will be entering into talks very soon with them. Already are in talks. We do have some people already over there in talks with them. But there will be more of us going. I'll be going myself before long and sitting down in talks with China. They want to work with us. They have made it abundantly clear that they're not very happy with what's going on in Washington. And they don't trust Washington anymore, and that's just where they stand. We can understand that because we have some of the same issues with the credibility of Washington, just like they do. And so we will be in talks with them soon. There are other nations that are now, since a couple of nations have officially come forward and said that they will support us, and some of them have already, we have correspondence with, to show that. Some of the other nations are now starting to ask questions and wanting to, they're getting brave now and want to come forward as well. And so you'll see that escalate as time goes on in the very near future. We are moving forward quickly. Things are going to change rapidly. We're expecting a lot of changes in Washington very soon. And some of them are not going to be good changes in Washington for some of the people in there, I don't think. And anyway, these things have to happen to restore what is lawfully the peoples of America. It's got to happen that way. And that's, you know, we don't wish any harm on anybody. And, of course, we're going to do everything lawful and peaceful, as we always have. We don't subscribe to any kind of violence or any kind of illegal activities whatsoever. We've not done any of those things. We've followed the Constitution to the letter, contrary to some people's beliefs. We have not violated the Constitution or the law of the land. Their interpretation of it in some ways they think we have, but that's not the case. And once you investigate what they're saying, you find out with the half-truths and innuendo that they're not telling the truth to begin with. So anyway, that's where we're at. But I've seen things start coming together and unity begin in the last few weeks. And I'm very thankful for all the hard work that all the people are doing out here. And we want to communicate better. We're working on that. It's been a problem, communications for us. Not that we haven't tried, it's just been difficult to set things up properly where we can truly communicate the way we want to. And a lot of that is because we just don't have enough people. We're all working way too many hours as it is, and I can say that myself included have been working way too many hours. And we need some rest. We need some time to recover and all that kind of stuff. But we have a big job to do, and it's necessary that we get it done. And so we've just been sacrificing to make sure that we communicate as well as we can, and hope that you'll pray. If you have some ideas to help us, we certainly are listening. We want to do a better job. And I know that there's some of you out there that have good suggestions, and we look forward to getting those suggestions and working with you to try to make things better for everybody in the Republic. But the Lord is in charge of this Republic, and He is moving it forward, and it's just awesome to watch Him work. Things around the world are really starting to move. I think you're going to see some things in Washington that are not going to be pleasant very soon. Some of those folks up there are probably not going to come through this very well. Pray for them as well. We don't wish any harm on anybody. We're going to practice what God said, forgiveness, and I hope that some of the people can be restored. Many of them I don't really think realize what they're even doing, but there are a few up there that are very knowledgeable about what they're actually doing, and they know that they're violating the law and they don't care. Those kind of people will have to be dealt with, and I think that very soon they will be. But we want to do everything in according to God's principles and God's ways, because that's what we're required to do if we want His blessings. Many things are going to come in the near future. We are discussing, we don't have plans for it yet, but we are discussing a dedication ceremony for the new Republic coming up. And we intend to do the dedication ceremony in the same place that the original Republic was dedicated, and that's at the Twin Tower site, actually. It was where it was in New York City. And we intend to set that up in the future as soon as we can, and actually call anybody in the Republic that wants to come and have a day of a ceremony to rededicate the new Republic. Just as they did, George Washington and the Founding Fathers did back when it was done, or the original Republic was done. And so anyway, we've got a lot of things we want to do. We're working on trying to pull together a congressional meeting with everybody around the country. We appreciate everybody's hard work on that issue. And we're addressing some of the issues in Congress. Congress is moving forward now, working on some bills to move us forward quickly when the funding takes place, which is, I think, is very, very soon. And I think you're going to see some major changes very soon. We've had our obstacles, that's for sure. We've faced and fought a lot of giants over the last year or so, but we're winning the battle, folks. We are absolutely winning this battle. And some of you are already seeing evidence of that. I encourage everybody to get involved with the land patent process. We have had some great successes lately with that. And we want to encourage you to get involved in that. If you want to learn it, we have some classes coming up. Dominion Services is putting on some classes for that purpose, to help train you if you want to be trained, because we need landowners. We desperately need landowners in the Republic. And I can tell you, we had had one of our people last week had his recorded in the local county, the whole process, and he went and got a copy of his deed, and right on the deed, they had already sold his house to Fannie Mae, and he went and got his deed. It was back in his name, and at the bottom of the deed it says no taxes. So it is working. They fully understand what we're doing, and we've had no resistance to it to this point in any of the counties, but I do expect that'll probably change. So the Records Bureau is still going to be needed to record these things, because we understand that they need to go into the Records Bureau and not the local counties. But some people have tested it, and they talked to me about it, and we did that as a test just to see what happens. Hey, even talked to some of the attorneys in the counties, and they admitted they understand the power of this land patent. That was that whoever held the patent was the absolute owner, and they admitted that. So it's an exciting thing for us, and I highly recommend that everybody Even if you had a home that was sold, do your land patent and get it back in your name, because they cannot issue a title higher than yours. And so, and we've done that in a few cases already, just tested, and it has worked. So we don't expect it's going to go without resistance, but we do believe we can win. We know we're going to win the battle. So you need to learn more about this and promote it across this nation, because we need landowners to build our permanent government. It's very important under the Constitution that our people are landowners. Brother Rick, are there some issues that I needed to cover that I might have missed?
Yes, sir, that ABC News is finally coming out with their piece. I believe it's going to be tonight.
Oh, really?
And it looks like the only people that they really interviewed was that fellow you knew down in Florida. So it'll be interesting what they come out on their piece.
Well, yeah, I'm talking about Bob Hurt.
Yes, sir.
Well, Bob Hurt hates me, so y'all expect a real good report on me. But, you know, I've embarrassed him a couple of times when he started talking his stuff. I've been through emails trashing me, and I asked him to bring proof, and I fully will probably put him on my lawsuit as well, because I believe I have enough evidence to do that. Because he has slandered me quite often. And I think that he should be added as well. But I'll watch the piece if I have time tonight. If not, some of you guys record it and send it to me, at least where I can watch it. I'm sure it'll be popular. But the what they're doing is irrelevant, because their system is over. It's absolutely over with. The corporation can't survive much longer. I've already been told it's going to be dismantled, and so we'll see how long it takes. It'll take a few months, but I believe you're going to see a major change in this country this year. So that's where we stand. But I'm not concerned about ABC News. They'll be eating crow soon.
Well, you know, President Tim, a lot of the rhetoric that has been behind the states, the nation states, et cetera, with Nathan's white paper presentation last week, and the time history, the timeline in history for the Republic, that is just so powerful and will dispel so much of the speculation in a lot of directions. I think once we get that out amongst more and more members, and they get their heads around what the actual research is behind it, just a lot of the fragmentation that we've experienced up to now, I mean, aside from the divisiveness, those who are planted to try to take us down, I think a lot of that's going to go away, and people are going to see in good sense that we have a very solid train track that we're coming along.
Yes, we do. We have a very solid foundation in this republic. We know we have some issues. We know we have some. We know we're not perfect, and we're not going to be perfect next time you talk to us either. The founding fathers didn't have a perfect government, and we don't have one either. It's a government in motion, and it's working to be better and better. We're trying to make it better, until it got derailed in 1870s and 80s. The Republic was a good government, even though it wasn't a perfect government. But during the Civil War era, right after the Civil War, there were many changes that took away our republic and restore and just actually installed socialism in America, basically, is what happened. And that's being changed. It's going to change back. We're going back to a constitutional republic in this nation. And no matter how hard the powers that are fight, they're going to lose, because God sanctioned this republic. It wasn't sanctioned by the hand of man, and he is going to see it through.
Amen to that. Mr. President, there's talk this week, and perhaps you can contextualize it a little so that it goes away. There's talk that behind China supporting us is the perception that China is collapsing America's government, and people said they are seeing us as aligning to that and wanting to distance themselves from that. Can you talk about it in the support of other nations and talk about it?
China coming forward and supporting us, they understand the fact that the corporation is collapsing on itself. Mm-hmm. That's the reason for the talks. The the corporation is pretty much operated by the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is what is collapsing, and it's going to take the corporation with it because they have nothing else to support it. And because, and I'm explaining this, the funding was pulled from the Federal Reserve a year ago, and how they've stayed alive this long, we don't know. They've just done it by fraud and theft and deception. But the bottom line is that there's most of the nations, the majority of nations of the world have said enough. It's time. You can't continue to do what you're doing. We have another government in America now, and we're moving to support that government because it's a government of the people, and they're tired of the corruption in Washington, as all of us are. And that's what's happening in Washington. It has nothing. It really has nothing to do with China or us or anything. They were going to collapse anyway. Whether we even established ourselves or not, Washington was going down. The reason we felt the urgency to establish the republic at this time was a number of reasons, but one of those was is we didn't want to live under a military dictatorship in this nation by United Nations troops, and that's where we were headed if we didn't just reinstate the republic, because the corporation is over no matter what we do. It is over. It cannot sustain itself. It can't get funding anymore, and there's nothing they can do to survive. They've lost all credit, all capital, all credibility, all collateral, and they don't have anywhere to turn. A corporation that's lost capital, credit, credibility, and collateral and cash is dead. It's a dead corporation, and that's where Washington is. It is a dead corporation.
I've been hearing there's reports this week or last week that a lot of the bankers, the head bankers of, I'm not sure, was it the World Bank and a bank in Australia and another one in Eurasia, are all resigning. Is that part of the sign?
I've got reports that over 100 have resigned, yes. From all over, we're getting reports from all over. They're resigning. Like they're jumping ship is what they're doing because they're all Federal Reserve banks, and they know that it's over. They understand that. But unfortunately, I think that many of them will be arrested anyway.
Well, that's not unfortunate. I think that sounds like justice to me. Look at how many Americans.
Well, it is, but I still like to see people suffer. I don't take pleasure even in wicked people suffering. I would rather they'd repent and come to forgiveness, but you know that they don't always do that. So
exactly.
That justice is necessary in those instances.
Well, more to the point of our work is we are creating the train track and creating the vehicle for Americans to not only get back to work and get back to a healthy lifestyle and hope again. And, you know, they're going to go the way they're going to go. But, you know, we've got work to do to just, you know, pick up the pieces and move us forward.
Yes. And it's very exciting to see what's happening. The stage is being set. I understand that the doctor that started the controversy about the vaccinations and autism 10 years ago or so, he won in court yesterday and got restored. He was from England, from London, I understand, and he was restored. His license were restored yesterday in a court. So that's encouraging. There, things are changing, folks. They really are changing. 10 years ago, he didn't have a prayer. He knew that. They just pulled his license.
What was the background? I'm not familiar with the background on the story.
Well, he was the one that discovered the connection between autism and vaccines. The vaccines were contributing to autism in children. And he wrote a paper on it and published it, and they pulled his license in England because he wouldn't retract it. And so they pulled his license. And he just won yesterday, I understand, in court, in a court battle that's been going on for 10 years, and he was reinstated fully. And the medical association that was fighting this has been given a big black eye.
Robert, it had to do with the mercury derivative called Thimerosal
Thimerosal.
They were utilizing to keep all the vaccines in storage for quite some time. And that's what he's winning against.
And poison the population, exactly. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
He was the first one to raise the issue publicly, and he got punished. But now the whole mood has changed, and now they're starting to give credence to what he said. And so that's a good thing. But, you know, it's just like us. We fought for many years to get where we're at.
Right.
And we've been accused of being crazy, and we've been told that we're not just not right. And but now people are starting to take a look and say, hey, these folks might not be as crazy as we think.
I got confirmation of that this week. A friend of mine who I used to be involved politically with when I was working down at the state capitol found me on Facebook and said, oh, I wondered what happened to you. There's been all sorts of negative speculation. And so I sent him a link to the Republic website, and he sends me a voicemail back to say, wow, if this is really true, this gives great hope to our nation. I just laughed. I'm like,
well, that's true. That's for sure.
And people are watching this Republican thing roll out, and this guy, Romney or whatever, he just doesn't have – he's not strong enough ahead of the pack. And so that spells another 4 years of Barack Obama for them. And so there's a lot of discouragement out there.
Yeah, but there's a lot of hope. And the Republic is hope. The Republic is absolutely hope. And I'm sorry that some of the people in the country can't see that, and some of them that were involved with us can't understand that. They think they got a better way, I guess. But I can tell you there's only one republic. We're it. We're sanctioned by the Almighty God, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. It's not going to be stopped. And it's just that simple. And I encourage everybody, if you don't think God's hand is in all this, there's a book called The Harbinger. If anybody hasn't read that book, I read it. It's amazing how God was in charge all along. And it's probably a book that would be good reading for many of us. It's an easy read. It's by Jonathan Kahn, and it's called The Harbinger, and it's a very good book. A friend of mine gave it to me, one of our senators, actually, and she gave it to me, and I read it, and I had a little time, and she said, you can't put it down, and she was right. It was a very interesting book. I hated to put it down, even go to bed, but it took a few days for me to read it because I had to have some rest, but I'm thankful for that, and it is very applicable to what we're doing today, and encourage everyone that will to read that book.
Well, Mr. President, I appreciate you taking time with us this evening. I know that you are recovering and trying to get some rest.
Yeah.
We had talked a couple of weeks ago about the Ranger program, but you just tell me if you think we're ready for that or not, or whether we need to push that out again another week.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going on with the people in the Ranger program tonight. I don't really know, but that's up to them, whether they want to talk about it. But it's a great program, and I think you're going to love it when you hear about it.
Well, very good. Yeah, I had the opportunity of hearing the Armed Services Committee talk about it, and they were going to make a summary on the recording tonight, but once again, technical issues. And I just wondered if you wanted to make any opening comments about it.
Well, I think I'll leave that to the experts. I did have a play in it, helping pull it together, but it was primarily written by Mr. Pledger and Carrie Shahan were primarily the two people that did the research and the study and the preparation for the legislation. And Congress does have the legislation, and they're discussing it now. And so far, I've got good reports. So I think it's going to move forward very good.
Well, very good. So thank you, sir. Godspeed with your health and having enough rest to put this lung issue to bed.
Thank you.
And,
we've had very little rest, but we've been doing a lot of other things that I'm just trying to stay in a little more than what I normally do and rest as much as I can. But we're still pretty busy. I just have not had enough breath to do too many calls until tonight. And it's I would have went to the hospital last week, but I just was too stubborn. I wanted to go to a naturopathic clinic, and that's what I did instead. And instead of going to the hospital, but so it's just a rumor that I'm in the hospital. I am not in the hospital. I went to an outpatient clinic, and they're working on getting the blood test and all to see what. I think I got into some mold last summer, and I think that's what I'm having problems with. But we're trying to verify that. But appreciate everybody's time. God bless all of you. Love you and appreciate everybody that's working in this republic. And I'm seeing every day more people had called another call today. Guy said, I don't know. He's a medical doctor. And he called. He said, I don't know why that I feel compelled to get involved here, but I've got to do it, and I just wanted to talk to you. And so one of our officials put him on the phone with me, and he told me that today. God is calling his people from all over the country to come and involve themselves with us. And so he's bringing his army together.
His Holy Spirit is the absolute best recruiter, huh?
Yes. He's the greatest recruiter. But they all, but I hear this all the time, and it just excites me to hear it, that they said, we really don't know why, but we're compelled to get involved. I said, I know exactly why, because you're supposed to. You're one of the people that God wants in this republic. And I get that all often, and it really encourages me, and I want to encourage all of you. Things are moving forward, and things are very good internationally. They're getting better and better for us, and things are about to move. And you're going to see some great and mighty things soon. It has been a tough, tough battle, I can say that. It has been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I know, I take comfort in knowing that God is in charge, and he's doing it in his timing. But he told me a few weeks ago that we were going to have to clean the republic up, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't really want to do what I had to do, but it was my responsibility, and went out and talked to some of the states, and we've had some of the people in Congress working with us, and unfortunately, we had people that just have a different, want to do a different thing, and they're welcome to do that, and some of them are friends. I still consider them friends, even though they don't agree with me. That's their privilege to do that, but we had to, unfortunately, had to move on without some of them because they don't want to comply with the law and do what they're required to do. We all have to abide by the law. None of us are exempt, including myself, from that. And so, unfortunately, some of the people are going to be left behind, and I feel bad about that for some of them because I really like some of those folks. But I will do what God says do, period. It doesn't make any difference. It's not about friends. It's not about politics. It's not about money. It's about doing God's will. And it's about bringing this republic back to the people. And I will support that every single time, and I have supported it, and there are a lot of people out there that disagree with some of the things I've done, but everything I've done can be upheld according to the laws that we have established in this republic. Every single thing that I've done, I can stand on it, and I feel bad for some of the folks because they're going to be on the outside looking in, and they had a great opportunity to be part of us and chose not to be. And I feel bad for them, but that's just the way it is. I have to do what God says do. And he said, clean it up. And now that we've cleaned it up, you're going to see the funding again very soon because of our efforts to do just that. Because that was one of the things, one of the major things that was holding us back, is a handful of people that have been holding us back for a year. And God knew it, and he had to help deliver us from that. And so, anyway...
Well,
I appreciate all the efforts everybody's doing.
That's just what you say is very much of a natural process, and I would confirm that. I had a friend of mine is managing an orchard that I have some oversight over, and he said, you know, in another month, and this is probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, he said, all of the new shoots will be on the tree. Then we're going to know what branches are dead and what to trim so that all of the energy of the tree goes into the new buds and the new fruit.
Right.
And what you're saying is exactly the same thing. So
it's absolutely a natural process, and I'm sorry that folks can't see, but they just can't, and I can't make them see. I've tried. I really have. I've tried to explain things to them, and they just got a different idea, and I'm sorry that they feel that way, but they got to do what they feel like in their heart. We won't bother them. We won't harass them or molest them in any way. They're free to do what they want to do. We have to abide by a rule of law, and that's that way this republic has got to operate. We cannot just make up arbitrarily the rules as we go along. We have a rule of law we have to abide by. And I gave an oath to do that, and I've kept that oath, and I don't ever intend to violate that oath at all. Because not only did I take that oath before the people of this great republic, I took that oath before Almighty God. And I intend one day, when I stand before him, I can tell you that he won't fault me for what I've done, because I have stood for what he said. And with that, Robert, I will yield the floor back to you, and I, God bless everybody. I've got to go to another meeting here in just a moment, and so God bless everybody, and I'm going to have to sign off with the call, and y'all remember me in your prayers. I'm still a weak, but I'm doing okay, and I'm recovering quickly. Got work to do. I can't get sick. I'm not really taking a sick day yet. I've been working every day, a little bit at least. Not as much as I wanted to, but I've been working every day for y'all, and just remembering me in your prayers because I need the strength. And God bless all of you, and have a wonderful night.
Thank you, President Tim. Well, on the tale of what the president has been sharing here, I'd like to bring Rick back on to give us an update from Judge Nadeau before we go into any more on the land patents and the other things. Are you there, Rick?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me still?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I had a message specifically for Greg Greer in South Carolina, I believe. The judge had spoken with him and another lady and had planned a call to talk with several people a few weeks back. Unfortunately, his schedule changed. He's not been able to put that together. He wanted me to publicly put out that information that he apologizes for not getting that together because he had had them contact me and I was standing by for the information and it was never forthcoming. And he remembered that and asked me to put that out on the call that he's tied up on international business right now, but does plan on being with us. And as a matter of fact, he expressed the desire that he could possibly be on the Justice AG call that they're starting to put together on Friday nights. And so he's going to try and work out a schedule with Nathan where he could be available on one of those calls in the coming weeks. The next item we have is it looks like Jim Fitzgerald is here. He's the next speaker when you're ready, Robert.
All right. So what Jim's going to talk to us about is as we prepare for funding, he can have an invitation to treasurers and comptrollers to assist with creating budgets. So as this clearly will be the next focus, I mean, strong line of organization we need to put into place here. Jim, welcome to the roundtable. We don't hear from you very often, but you are more than welcome.
Good evening. Glad to be here, and good evening to the people. The president had said a few weeks ago that, that maybe I could assist in some thinking on the Treasury and so forth. I think more appropriately, what I've helped with is the budget for cabinet members, some of the states, and Congress, and so forth. So I would say that when I hear the word Treasury, it makes me think that as the president has stated, some of the banking system and how things are going to work is being discussed in nations of the world. Not liking what, you know, the de facto corporation has done, and some of those things are being discussed. So what we have as a re-inhabited republic, something to learn there. However, I would, and this is an opinion, because we all have something to learn there, that whether you call it collars, dollars, zollers, whatever they are, whatever money or being you use to do commerce can be accounted for and appropriated for in a similar fashion. So if, per the Constitution, the Congress has the authority to levy taxes and to, you know, make for the printing of money and pursuant to Article 1, Section 7, to borrow money on the credit of the United States. Well, that's kind of where we are at this point, is in essence, is going to be borrowing money on the credit of the United States. Well, we're small in numbers right now, but we know the wealth of this country. And if the de facto, when the de facto collapses, what has already been proven that the people of this great nation can do to create wealth, it won't be a problem for the planet and what we can do. Our only problem with what has been going on is it just hasn't been just. And as it says also in the Constitution, that the Congress shall, establish and fix the standard of weights and measures. Well, that comes right out of the Bible. The problem with it is it's not just and it's not balanced. And inflation and deflation and the things that the private bankers have done have so corrupted the system, and we have to clean that up. So we have something to learn about that. Now, when we do that, and we do have a treasury, the Constitution says that no money shall be drawn from the treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law. So Congress has to make appropriations, and I think that is appropriate, to draw some money out of the treasuries for whether it's for the defense budget or whatever it is for the common good of the people. We just have to make it just. Now, what I've helped with at this time is budgeting. And I was talking to a governor of Indiana earlier today, sharing with him a budget that we did here in Arizona, and it's similar to some of the cabinet budgets and so forth, and the thoughts that went into it as we get this thing rolling. And what I think that comes to me from the experience I've had in estimating, that the nation can take, if you can draw from some good accounting practices or good bean counting or whatever you want to call it out there in the world, looking to our government is not such a place that you would look for good practices. They appropriate money and all they do is spend it. They don't really account for it along the way. And my previous history was in large commercial construction, and I think it was, when I was young and going to seminars about project management and contract law and different things, I'll never forget one time the seminar guy asked all of the people in the class, if you had to do anything, what would you want to do? And not one of them said they wanted to be a contractor. But what the contractor, especially a large commercial contractor, does that's different than any other industry out there, whether you're making a teacup, a computer, a clock, it doesn't matter what it is, people usually build prototypes of it, figure out what the cost is, mark it up 30, 40, 50, 100% or whatever they think the market will bear, and then they sell it. Well, the large commercial contractor, and even the small commercial contractor, has to estimate it, figure out what the cost is of multitudes and multitudes of different systems, from concrete to rebar to framing to electrical to mechanical systems and on, usually described in 16 different sections of building standards and so forth, figure it all out before you even put a shovel in the ground. And they only get to mark it up on a large commercial job, 2.5-3% on big commercial jobs. So they learn, it's an opinion, better than most industries out there how to control their costs. Because when you only have a 2.5-3% margin, you don't have any room for error. So, for instance, if you design a teacup and you mark it up 100% and you have a problem in manufacturing, you have a little bit of fluff there in that 100% markup to figure out your sins and make your production line better and so forth. In a large commercial construction job, it has to be done in a year and you're going to spend $60 million. You mess up tomorrow, you can just lose all your profit if you don't manage it correctly. So what the government can do, in my opinion, is look to large commercial construction or similar industries where they manage their costs at least monthly. And what I mean by that is cost control. The government doesn't do cost control. They just spend money, and then they have some ridiculous rules in that spending of the money now that they try and spend every penny of it so they can get the same amount appropriated next year. There's no incentive for savings and so forth. Like in a lot of commercial construction jobs, there's an incentive to get done earlier in schedule or have a cost savings. They'll split it with the owner as an incentive to do a good job. The government has the opposite incentive to spend every dime so they get at least as much or more next year. And that's a little bit, in my opinion, corrupt. So in what we can learn about the counting of beans in a treasury is if we have a budget like the budgets we've put together, I think we need to get our mindset out of we're not going to spend every bean. Let's try and see what we can do to curtail that cost. And what the construction industry offers is something called forecasting. And usually they do it once a month. And that's not soon enough. I was fortunate enough to work for a company one time where a son took it over for the father, and he had a marketing degree, but he knew enough. He was a smart young man. He wanted to control his costs, and he hired a programmer and said, "This is what I want." And I think the reason he succeeded is he didn't look to the rest of the industry and what they did as a standard. He just told them what he wanted, and he was able to control his costs every day by 10 o'clock in the morning. And so this company, we'd run, 200 jobs a day. They were small, but they were in the microelectronics field, Motorola, Intel, and so forth. He could sit in his house and look at his cost control system and look for negative signs. And if there was something overrunning on a job by this forecasting tool, he was making a call to the foreman running the job. So the unintended consequence of that is the people out in the field that were running the work, they also were looking at this same thing, and they were managing their jobs because the cost reporting and the cost control system was up to date by 10 o'clock every morning. And it didn't take a rocket scientist to look for little negative signs to go, uh-oh, I got a problem. Well, if in one of the things that I think we can do on behalf of the people, if we're spending their money, is be very aware of cost control or proper bean counting. And like I say, it's an opinion. It's up to Congress, but I think there's plenty of evidence out there that public servants can do much better job of spending the people's money. So how it is set up, I don't know that we should expend a lot of brain power on what the banking system might look like, but I think there's enough empirical data out there to really take a good look at and really have Congress take a good look at cost control. So if we say we have as a government $1 billion to spend in different buckets of money or whatever, we know what we're spending every day, and flags can be raised. What's going wrong? Why are we spending like drunken sailors here and cut back programs and do the things that we do and so forth. So I don't know a lot about the Treasury. I mean, sure, it's not to me it's more cost control and so forth that I've worked on thus far in helping with the budgeting that we have done as a re-inhabited republic. The banking system, I think, will, before we expend too much time figuring out how we're going to count those dollars or zollers or collars or whatever they end up calling them, let's learn what the system looks like and really take a good hard look at the bean counting process. So those are my thoughts on it, Robert, and I'll stay around if anybody has any particular question.
Well, I have one I'd like to you address, Jim, and that is in where we are now, in what you hear from around the states, how many of our 36 or 38 states that we now have on board, how many of those states have engaged the wheels of getting a budget together and getting a treasurer and a comptroller in place? Do you have some sort of stats on that yet?
I do not. I think maybe Rick does. I don't know if there's a position in the Dropbox. I do know that going back to, I guess I worked on it for a couple of months last year, finished it up. My document here shows the end of October or towards the end of October, getting our arms around the budget. Now, some states, I got on a governor's call or whoever wanted help. I show them what I did for Arizona and to help our governor put one together, and they said, for your consideration, you can use this. And it's an idea. So if it's less or more, in my estimation as an estimator, is really not so much, not, you know, what's in it, whether it's $30 million or $40 million or $50 million, is not as important that there's a bucket of money. We all aren't sure once this thing goes how much it's going to take. But there's reasonable estimating using kind of today's, the only thing we can do is in today's understanding of today's dollars is put an estimate together, and that's what's been done. The states that, as I recall, back then was like 8 or 9 that had turned in similar budgets. Some of them were felt that took what I did, tweaked it a little bit, and others did their own thing, but they all had turned in something. What was done at the time to complete a budget for an understanding of the nation is looking at a few of those. I used, you know, Arizona's, and another one was done for California, which was a bigger state. They have 35 million people, and Texas is right behind them. They reasonably might have a little bit bigger budget than most of the others. And the reason I say that is not that they have the same amount of representatives and governors and all those positions, but when we get going, they might need a bigger staff of researchers and stuff. For instance, Arizona has 119 different agencies that we, as the re-inhabited republic, are going to have to look over into that, because those constructs are there. Some of them aren't required, some of them are required, some of them can be pared back. But we might as well look at that, because those are the institutions that are in place on behalf of the people today. And our job should be to look at those and see what's wrong, what's bent, what works right, and so forth, and fix this broken machine. So Arizona has 119, and I can't remember the number. Somebody told me once that California had somewhere between 500 and 1,000 agencies. Well, they're going to need researchers and analysts as they turn their ship around to look into all that stuff. It can't be done by the same staff that would have to look at 119 agencies. So that's why I say their budget might be a little bit, or you know, substantially bigger than in Arizona or most of the other states. So using those two, Arizona is kind of like right in the median of states, 6-7 million people, 5-7 million people. Some of the bigger states, you know, Texas, they have 30 million people. And the smallest number state by population is Wyoming with 500,000. But I submit, as just an estimate, I would say that Wyoming, even with only 500,000 people to govern, still has the same issues in land, you know, state department issues like people, land issues, infrastructure that even Arizona does. So they're going to have to research that, even though it's a smaller population of people. They do have a bunch of, you know, blacktop down and pipe and infrastructure and things that are going to have to be looked at. So they're going to require a similar budget to a state that has, you know, 6 million people, maybe a little bit less. But anyway, we've interpolated what all 50 states are going to need based on the budgets that have been turned in thus far, so that we can say that we reasonably are going to need X dollars. So those that aren't done yet officially, they, you know, at some point when we have a banking system and a comptroller is going to go out to those states and say, okay, we have a treasury, we're ready to fund you. What do you have for us? Well, then that's when the metal meets the road, and they'll have to say, here's what we have in the budget, and here's our plan. Here's what, you know, we're going to need this building and staff it like this, and these are the things we want to do in our first 6 months or whatever. And if they have a good plan, okay, we'll there'll be some funding for that. So
well,
does that help?
It does help. If you are able to hang out on the call and take questions when we open it for questions and answers, that would be great. Sounds like also what you have to say would be very well received on the Monday night executive call to address and make that invitation to the governors and their executive staff. So thank you, Jim. And we'll come back to you as question and answers unfold. We're going to move to Jay Jones. Jay Jones is going to talk to us about the land patent training of the trainers. And I'm supposed to give you a disclaimer. I don't have it. So, Rick, unless you have a disclaimer, I'm going to basically say that the land patent whole process is separate to the Republic, and yet it's an adjunct to the Republic. It's a vital component of what needs to happen for establishing landowners within the Republic, but it's not specifically sanctioned by the Republic. Is that kind of the best way to say it, Rick?
That's close. To answer the first part of your question to Jim, they have the comptroller and treasurer positions under the executive branch, which is where they feel that the budgets will probably land, in either the comptroller or treasurer, depending on what the state decides. So that's the final portion of your question to Jim there.
Oh, good. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The flip side now, going back to Dominion Services. Dominion Services has been set up as a private capacity from the people, a committee that was put together by the president to bring a it literally is a business. In other words, they're going to train processors that will be able to go out to the people and show the people how to properly bring their land patents forward. Now, there is going to be a clear division. Those people are going to be operating in their private capacity, bringing their land patents and everything forward. At a certain point, the people will want to remove their records, their land patent, their land grants, whatever. It depends on whether you're in the 13 colonies or the other rest of the states, whether it's called a land patent or land grant. But when those are to be removed from the county records, backing up to what Nathan was saying earlier last week and on Friday, the bane of our existence is those incorporated counties. So if you notice both on your birth certificate and a lot of your real estate records, it always talks about a registration. What we're going to do is we're going to remove those records out of the county registrar's office, the county records office, and we're going to put it in a true recorded style. In other words, it's not going to be registered, controlled, taxed, or in any way, form, or manner. It's just going to go into a large Republic database, and when you have removed your record from the county and become a true landowner, you yourself will own or hold the actual records. We will only have an electronic copy. The electronic copy is for any type of disputes that come up. We will simply be in a position to where they can call up and they say, we've got this dang guy, Jay Jones, somewhere thinks he's in North Carolina, but we think he's in Florida, and he says he's got a piece of land, and we will be able to locate that and say, yes, that is the right contract number, that is the right person, and yes, we do have a record that he is the actual land owner, and point them in the right direction. So that there's the division, there's the disclaimer of the two areas, Robert.
All right. So on that introduction, Justice Jones, you have the floor, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody. I apologize. I've got a cold also, so sound like I've been crying, but I really haven't. Of course, hearing Rick just talk about the land patents just makes me want to cry, because it is such a wonderful thing. And I, first of all, I want to say, Robert, it's unbelievable how many hours this committee has put in. I commend every one of them. If I start naming names, I would miss somebody, but sometimes that would be 3 and 4 and 5 hour conference calls just to put together the program that is out there now for the processors. It's a great program. Thanks to everybody involved, it's made it so easy for the processors to be able to input the information from the people. It's simplified their job just tremendously, and everybody that has seen it and using it already is just elated over it. If you are a processor out there tonight and you have not got all of your paperwork into Dominion Services, I would encourage you to do so, because once you get all the documents that are required, some of the things have changed. That's the only reason there's more documents to fill out. But once you get those in, you'll receive a copy of that program, and it is is really tremendous. And but the main thing I wanted to say tonight was that, you know, we need to get this process out there, and the only way to do it is by setting up the seminars and having the people attend that want to become processors. Now, there's about, I think there's 6 or 8 actual trainers throughout the nation, and each one has a specific territory that they can go to and set up seminars and conferences in the states. So if you're interested in a seminar in your area, just email Dominion Services. I want to say it's at yahoo.com. Sorry, I don't know exactly without looking at it, but I will make sure while we're here. But and just request someone in your area to get with you to set up the seminar, and that's all you have to do. So it's not going to be anything hard on anybody's part. It's just a matter of communication. If you have sent emails in, you know, this is all new to everybody. We're trying to answer everybody that we can in a timely manner. So there's just a few working in the office right now. So just be patient. It will come to pass. And there's already, I want to say, on an average of maybe 250 processors throughout America now. So if you're interested in a land patent, we can get someone that's close enough to you to take care of you in that. But if you want to become a processor, that's what I'm talking about tonight, basically, is if you want to become a processor, just get with us and set up a seminar in your area. We'll come and we'll do the training. I think it's okay if I mention everything we go through tonight. It won't take but a couple hours. So, but
oh, well, then go right to it, yeah.
But the actual,
well, how about this? How about if I direct?
To train the trainers is $580. $499.
There, you feel better, Robert?
It's $499 to become a certified processor. And what that'll allow you to do is go out basically and start your own business in doing land patents. And I think the processors themselves will make $250 a piece. And so it's a good business, and it's also going to help us to get landowners. And I think that's what the president was talking about. We've got to become landowners. There's some work involved, but it's not just
slow the bus just 1 second here. If for $500 I can go and start a business, what standard and what checks and balances have you built into this so that I don't end up tweaking it to suit my needs? And in other words, what's standardizing this across the board?
Robert, I'm sorry, I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing. Did you say what standard across the board?
Yeah, what standards are you setting across the board? And if for $500 I can go and start a business doing land patents, what checks and balances are going to ensure that this stays pure, stays clean, and doesn't get hybrids birthed off of it?
Well, I'll just say this. I had a friend of mine one time that was pastoring a church, and he said pastoring would be a good job if it weren't for the people. So the people are going to be what makes this pure and clean. And if the people aren't pure and clean, we can never have a pure and clean process. However, what the checks and balances that we have put in place is the program is in a PDF fillable form, and the processors, when they take the class, they do sign an agreement not to change or alter any of the documents. These documents are owned by private business owners, and you know the contract is between them and the processor. So now, unless they just completely go against what they sign and their word and their agreement, then everything should stay pretty much the same. Now, you know, I'll just say this up front. I get accused of saying what I think a lot, but the first day we sent it out, you know, somebody said, well, we need to change this and we need to change this. Nothing needs to be changed. Not that something won't be changed, but the thing that we do ask is please don't start changing these papers. I think we went through something like that, didn't we, Rick, in the Republic, maybe with documents?
No, we've never had that problem, Jim.
Never had that problem.
I mean, Jay.
But, you know, we just ask that you don't change or alter them because we don't have that right. You know, it's you take the class, and if you'll do the process like the process says and completely go through it, it does work, and it is very, very effective. We've got several cases already that has been won in court because they own the land patent. Now, everybody, you know, we get calls and questions all the time. Is this 100% guaranteed? It's going to depend a lot upon the judge sitting behind that bench right now. Until when we go into the court, we may need more enforcement, and from which I understand from this call may be soon forthcoming. But that's the checks and balances that we have right now, Robert.
Okay.
The process is great. It works good. So, you know, we just – that it doesn't mean that it's perfect now. That's what I want to let you know. It doesn't mean that it's perfect. I think once we get it out there and people begin to use it, there probably will be some things that need to be tweaked and changed. But that needs to come through the office, not the individual. And if there's forms that have to be changed for an individual's needs, there's not a problem there. You know, it's not like one form's going to cover everybody in this United States. But we do need to make a record of that, because if it needs to be changed for you, it could be needed to be changed for someone else, and then we'll have that in the archives, and we can send that paperwork out. So the next class that I know of, and I don't think there's any other schedule, though, is next weekend in Ozark, Alabama, at Jack Mazzell's house. We're going to be doing a land patent seminar training the processors. So it's called Gain Dominion. If you go to www.freedomyale.com, you can sign up for the class there. I think it'll hold 50 people, so you might want to go ahead and get signed up if you can come. And unless
Jay,
I have any other questions, go ahead.
Well, yeah, I have a question. I understand you're going to take the ball and run with this. Talk about the six, what is it? Is the nation being split up into different areas or something? And how are you planning to, are you going to do systematic seminars across the states? Are you going to have folks in each area run the seminars? Can you kind of just kind of lay a little bit of a picture out regarding that?
Yeah, actually, I would like to try to find my map here. Janine did a great job of mapping out the area and giving the states to the different people, but I'm not going to be able to find that right now, and I apologize for that. But
it's something that we're going to put on the website, Jay, so that people will be able to look easily also, so you might just lay that out there.
Okay, good, yeah. It is a map, and it's color-coded. They can look right on there and see who the trainer is in that area. I know, to give you an example, I live in North Carolina, but I've got from North Carolina to Maine. That's my region. And someone else, Michael Bishop and Tom Chapman, they have South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, down, you know, that area down there. And I could go on, but there's about six or seven across the United States taking it that way. There's some in California, Oregon. I think Janine has part of Oregon and New Mexico. And so, you know, without seeing the actual charts in front of me, I couldn't be exact, but
that gives us a bit of an idea. Excellent. Well, are you able to stay on the call, and when we open up for questions and answers, answer any other questions?
Be glad to.
Very good. Thank you, Justice Jay. Appreciate it. Appreciate you.
The last one on your agenda is Nathan, as far as I see here, Robert.
Well, no, actually, mine is Robert Phillips, who's going to talk about the AFSR.
Oh, that's right. You've got him.
So,
that's right.
Matthew Phillips from South Carolina. If you are unmuted, you have the floor, sir.
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Good evening.
All right. Well, you mentioned I was going to talk about the ASR. When I spoke with Janine earlier, she was asking me to speak in reference to an email that I sent out recently, and it had a lot more to do with unity within the Republic than it did the ASR.
Okay.
So,
well, let's talk about that.
Okay. That sounds great. Before I get into that, Robert, I just want to say I tried to communicate to Janine this afternoon how much I appreciate you guys putting these calls on. I really feel like that these calls have been like water to a dry and thirsty land in the Republic. I know they have for me, particularly when it comes to hearing from the leaders at national and from getting information that we're not getting from any other place and from getting answers to questions. It's just been a godsend, and I wanted you to know that I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you. It was it's our call. It's certainly our desire to connect the dots. America is we're the bastion of freedom, for heaven's sake. And for us to rediscover what it's like to work together in freedom without all these crazy regulations and this almost like a hand over our head, it's just it's exciting to see us start to flower, just to hear all the good reports that are coming from all over the Republic. It just excites me. So go ahead. Your reports now.
Amen.
You have the floor.
Okay. Amen. Well, thank you. I sent out the email because mainly in my own perspective of what's going on in the Republic, I felt like that there may be some people that are kind of caught in the crossfire between those who are in somewhat unsettled and quite vocal about the things that they see that are negative within the Republic and those who are very, very positive. And it concerns me a little bit, so I sent out this email and I talked a little bit about unity and I talked about what it calls, what we need to have unity in the Republic and that kind of thing, and Janine just wanted me to speak about it a minute, so I just thought that maybe I'd just take a minute and do that. The concept that I see in the Republic is that we're all like a mosaic. We have different opinions. And the question is, how do you derive unity when you have diversity? Where does unity come out of diversity? But to me, it's kind of like looking at what God has created in the natural realm. I mean, he's created all kinds of diversity. Yet when you look at that diversity in an all-encompassing glance, if you will, you see a wonderful picture. Now, we don't have any trouble with that kind of a concept in our minds. Most of us would agree that when you look at a forest and it has all different kinds of trees, it's a beautiful scene. When you look at a meadow and it has all different kinds of flowers and grasses, it's a beautiful scene. But for some reason, when we get into the area of opinions and we get into this is what I know to be true, and then another person says, no, this is what I know to be true, for some reason, we cannot see the value of both of those opinions. But from my perspective, God created us differently so that we would be able to, if you will, sharpen one another. He created us differently so that we can have differences of opinion. And in the amalgamation of those opinions, we can come out with a much greater outcome than we would if we just singularly tried to do the work on our own. And I feel like that so much of the time, people try to just say, this is what I know, this is what is right, and my right is right, and my wrong is wrong. And I can understand that attitude. But I can also see the value of allowing another person to say, well, this is my right and this is my wrong. And I feel strongly about this too. And I see the value of all of us being able to say those with dignity that God has planted in each one of us without being made to feel like we're stupid or made to be feel like we're moronic. Or made to feel like we're against the Republic, or made to feel like we are so much in favor of the Republic that we're blind to any negative that might be out there. And so I just wanted to, in this email, I was trying to speak to those people who were maybe caught in this crossfire. And I wanted to say to them, as I would now if they're on the phone, that the differences of opinion that they are hearing are very valuable, that they are not a negative. When some people view them as negative, then that's just their view. But the crossfire, the battling back and forth of opinion is a valuable, valuable thing. And when we do it correctly, and we do it with grace, and we do it with mercy, and we do it with kindness, and we do it with allowing everyone the dignity of humanity in the expression of their own opinion, then we are able to take all of what's been said and utilize that for a good, maybe not perfect outcome, but much better outcome than what we would normally have. Now, I feel like the ASR particularly has brought out a lot of the negative, and sometimes negative people are more vocal than those that are positive. But I also feel like, from my own perspective, that I'm in favor of any document that will separate me and my status from the de facto government. And so I have no problem with the ASR at all. But I have spoken with and emailed with people who've had problems. But we've been able to communicate in such a way that we're able to still love each other in the process. And I thank God for that. I believe that we are a people called to this mission. And I believe that as people who have been called to bring the republic into being, to re-inhabit this republic, we are duty-bound to stick with it, no matter what our opinion is. The way I put it in my letter is, I'm married to the republic without any option of divorce. And if we all felt that way, when we had problems, when we felt negatively about one another, we would find a way to work it out, because leaving would not be an option. Now, I know you guys feel like that there are people that need to be culled from the republic, and I'm sure that's true. But I also feel like there are people who have left who should not have, and maybe people who are considering leaving who should not be, because of the difficulty of remaining in this crossfire that they've been in. And so I'm just asking and saying that we as a people are duty-bound by God to remain strong and firm, speaking our opinions with vehemency if necessary, and speaking them often if we have to. But in the speaking of them, backing off long enough to hear what other people are saying as well. Because I'm sure we've all had the experience where when someone said something that at first seemed diametrically opposed to what I was thinking, as I began to think about it, and the more I thought about it, the more I began to realize that there was some validity to it. And in some cases, it even ended up changing my own opinion on the subject. And that, to me, is the value of what we bring for each other. And I yield.
You know, as you speak, Matthew, a scriptural verse just jumped out off the page at me, and I looked it up. It's Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called God, sons of God. And you just speak volumes in your heart's call here and the wisdom in what you're saying. So thank you very much. I hope that all those who are listening to this call take that to heart. And I agree with you. It grieves me, some folks who have left because the battle's too tough for them. It's been too hurt their heart too much. So I just have to pray that God has put his soldiers where he wants them. And there's different tiers in the battle. There's different tiers in the work that God calls us to. So if you'd like to stay on the call,
give me the opportunity. Yes, I'll be glad to stay on the call.
Stay on the call, and I'm going to open it up for questions and answers. I know we're still going to have Nathan give us a report, but we've got like 7 minutes before we've hit our 90-minute mark, and we haven't even got to one question yet, so except for the ones that I've asked. So, Rick, could you put it into Q&A mode so we'll load up those who want to ask a question, And while you're doing that, Nathan, we'd like you to come back on this week and just give us a brief report on what you started last week on the white paper. We had two or three people volunteer to transcribe it, and unfortunately, email's been down, so I don't have an update of whether that process is complete. But good evening, sir.
Good evening, Robert. John Gorla, the Justice Association.
Go ahead, Nathan. Hello. What happened to you? Nathan? Hello, Nathan.
You accidentally muted him when he went to Q&A. Nathan, are you with us again?
I am, yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good evening. Associate Justice John Gorla actually transcribed the speech, I believe, from last weekend. And I can't open it because my email server is down. So I've been working on the white paper, on all the bullet points, and adding some more information to it. And it's actually growing quite extensive, which is a good thing, because I want to take care of this business once and for all, a brief, simple timeline of all the important bullet points of the important happenings in America as we know it to be. And I don't want to put any information out there that we later have to retract. I want to keep it simple, that we can start spreading it out there on all the websites. And I want to support it with supporting documents from the statutes at large and the general archives, so that we have something we can depend on that would dispel all the myths and the false stories out there that are mixing with some truths. So that's where I'm at. I hope to have it finished this week, and I'll get it out to Janine, and hopefully she gets it emailed out to everybody.
Very good. Thank you, Nathan. I was just very excited, excited that you brought the research that you brought to the table. Of course, it's going to cause a lot of states to revisit the whole county issue, and that's a healthy thing. I think that's good.
Well, I would like to remind everybody that, you know, I'm not going to make a big issue about the county. I would hope that we keep it off our documents. County geographically can be used when they don't have the overlay of the corporation county, but they certainly use it to deceive us and to restrict us from constitutional rights. So I'm going to try to keep a very, very healthy perspective on that issue. I don't want to rock the boat too hard.
Okay. Well, we have just a couple of calls in the queue this evening, and maybe there'll be more once they start here. But if you want to ask questions of any of the panelists who've been on this evening, press *6, and I believe you'll then be asked to press 1 if you want to be in the queue.
Little bit of cleanup, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
You had asked Jay Jones as to what the exact website reference was for Dominion Service. It actually is the word Dominion, DOMINION, and singular service, not services, but service. So if anybody puts in a www.dominionservice.org, O-R-G, they will come to the simple portion of the website that they put together so far. It does talk about the next scheduled land patent seminar. It should actually say a training seminar for processors. So there's cleanup, and we're going to get it done eventually. It also has a form attached to it at the bottom for those that can start putting their information in as to they would like to follow the land patent process. And again, the disclaimer is that it's a two-part process. The processors will actually help the people understand how to find their land patent. It doesn't have anything to do right off the bat with your mortgage. It's two separate things. First, you bring forward the land patent. You understand how to put the warranty deed, the land patent, and bring it forward as lawfully set up by our republic. Our forefathers are actually the ones that put it together. and they've done a lot of research on how to make it, to allow it to be brought forward into the real man's name, and that's one part of the process. Then it becomes recorded into the National Registry, and that's a really bad word to use, because it's not going to be a National Registry, it's going to be a National Recording Office, so that it simply is a place for all these records to be. So once again, it's www.dominionservice.org. And let's see, for instance, what Jay was talking about, Alaska doesn't even have counties. So there are little tweaks that we'll probably have to go on with this. But the president and the people that have researched this and put it together have put it together in a lawful manner. And so the tail end of your question, Robert, the checks and balances, besides putting it together in a fillable PDF format, we know where we're at right now is a very powerful system. And like the president said, and like you kind of verified, there will probably be areas that will be question marks, little tweaks that will have to be done to things. But we've got it real close to the point where it will be a very powerful method for people to actually become electors, as the Constitution designates. And that's it, sir.
I only have one question. What's the fence? What's the rock fence there? Is that in your backyard, Nathan?
On Dominion Services, Nathan, it shows a kind of a meadow with a rock fence. It's actually a picture from a Scottish area that Jay Jones happened across. What we are trying to do is show just an open area of land, sir.
Gotcha. All right. Very good. Well, I just signed up while you were talking. So anyone else wants to do that? You can do that. Click on it to get started, and it pops up a window. All right. Rick, let's take the first caller in the queue.
Very good. First caller is area code 818, Calabrese.
Actually, this is Eric Levitt.
Hello,
okay,
Eric.
From California.
I recognize the voice. How
well,
are you, sir?
Oh, great. I want to actually have a question for Matthew and a couple for Rick. But first, on a lighter note, I just got a quickie for Jay Jones from North Carolina. As a banjo player by profession, I just got to tell you, I've heard that you can't throw a rock in North Carolina but 5 feet without hitting another banjo player. I guess you would know that better than I would, right?
Yes, sir. Me. A lot of my friends play those.
Yeah, I'm a bluegrass guy all the way. Okay, Matthew, I couldn't agree with you more about your pitch for unity, because I'm doing the same thing out here as much as I can with people in the Republic. And I believe that the key word is respect, and I think that's what you're talking about. And I'm glad you don't use the word tolerance like so many liberal-minded people in the de facto like to use that word, because it seems to me the more they use the word tolerance, the more it breeds intolerance, because tolerance, it's saying I tolerate you even though I don't like you, even though I can't stand you. And respect has a totally different connotation than that. So I'm with you 1,000% on that. I do think that some people in the Republic have come in, brought their anger in with them, and if they can't control that, if they can't manage that, then so we get there and we arrive and we're it. We don't want to be the tyranny that we're opposing. Anger can do that. And so, are you an office holder in South Carolina, Matthew?
I'm the Speaker of the House.
Speaker of the House. Okay. Well, I really appreciate what you're talking about, and it really registers with me. And there's a movie that I'm trying to get everybody in the Republic to see. I don't know how yet, but it's a movie called The Castilian from 1963, which was about how the Moors nearly conquered the world, and the Christians were divided in northern Spain They only had about one or two more provinces to conquer, and if the Christians hadn't united, they would have lost. And they realized when the Moors were at their doorstep, they said, we better unite and lay down our differences, or this is it. And that movie is a true story about that. Rick, this is what I wanted to ask you. On Monday's call, which I had to listen to on the playback, first off, you were searching for a word. You were grasping for a word that you couldn't think of about the de facto admitting more and more illegals. I think the word you were trying to think of was amnesty.
Yep, that's it. Thank you so much. I actually got an email from somebody that supplied me with that word.
Okay. That hit me afterward, too. Okay, two questions I have for you, Rick, and they're pretty easy. The number of states, the number of green states shot up from 34 to 36, from what I understand. And,
yes, sir.
And I know Maryland was one of those states, and I was trying to think of what the other state was, and I figured it has to be either Alaska or Georgia. Was it one of those two?
Could be. I'm trying to bring up the sheet. I know that Alaska is real close. I'm not sure that it's 100%, but I do know that Georgia is. So it was
probably
Georgia.
Probably Georgia. Good. Okay. And then my question, my last question is, it's nice to know that Oklahoma is 100% green. That's the state I actually went to Bible college in back in 1970 when I was just a youngster. But I was concerned about Oklahoma because on one or two conference calls a couple of weeks ago, I heard a little bit of controversy in that state that there was some kind of some issue there. Do you know if that's been resolved?
I know it has not been resolved, but I do know that all of the people in Oklahoma are cooperating. There has been a complaint filed with the one Supreme Court. And they are now in the process of reviewing that and putting it together so that they can discern if there, in fact, are any areas or problems. As you know, they at one point or another, they purported to have two separate governing bodies in there.
Yes, right.
And the president was there, and they are doing their best to put that all back together. And there were some questions that people in Oklahoma felt needed to be resolved, and it was put in a complaint format. So the rule of law is being followed, and which is our constitutional form of government, which I'm very proud of Oklahoma because they will be setting, again, another precedent, just like Oregon did, by following the process through properly and settling it's not necessarily a difference. It's questions of how things had to go, just like you and Matthew have been talking about. There's no book. There's no Re-Inhabit 101 that we've got before us, so we don't know what to do. And there are people that are very passionate about different areas, and so I'm very proud of the fact that it's not like the McCoys, you know, and Reveners, you know, shooting at each other. Mm-hmm. They've actually come to the table and put their differences down and saying, help us figure out where this has got to go, and that's what's happening right now, sir.
That's wonderful news, and I would close by saying that I believe, and I've long believed, that there's a lot more unity in the Republic than we realize, and there's definitely more unity than division. Division is only being caused by a few, a very, very tiny percentage. That's my feeling.
Well, thank you, Eric, and I want to say, too, that I wouldn't worry about Oklahoma. I just recently received an email about Oklahoma, and here's some facts you might not know about them. Oklahoma is the only state that Obama did not carry one county in the last election.
I think I heard that.
While everyone was focusing on Arizona's new law, look what Oklahoma has been doing. They're citizen woodmen. An update. Oklahoma law passed 37-9, had a few liberals in the mix, an amendment to place the Ten Commandments on the front entrance of the state capitol. The feds in D.C., along with the ACLU, said it would be a mistake. Hey, that was a conservative state, based on Christian values, HB 1330. Guess what? Oklahoma did it anyway. And it goes on, and there's about six things just like that where Oklahoma just decided to step out and do what they wanted to do for their state, and it's very inspirational. So if anybody wants that, I don't know how to make it available, but I sent it over to some of the Oklahoma contingency. So.
All right. Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, ready to go to the next one, Robert?
Yeah. Joseph. Joseph Orlando. Good evening.
Yes, this is Joe Orlando in Free State of Virginia. I serve on the executive branch as the Secretary of Agriculture, and I have a general question about lists of people involved in the Republic. Specifically, is there a place I can go to, or is there a list available from you, possibly, Rick, of other secretaries of agriculture in the other states? The reason for my question is I would like to see if we could put together a call for ourselves to help exchange ideas about we're handling about how we are handling our departments.
To answer your question directly, we don't have that yet. The nice thing is that with the 36/38 states that have come together, we now have what we call the state contact forms. And what they have done is there are five contacts within each state, and they are rebuilding. Some of them had to rebuild websites and contact information, and that will be reposted to the main Republic website. And so it will give you a contact person within each state that you will be able to contact regarding exactly what you're trying to do, and that way they can therefore exchange and send the information that you need state from state. We don't have the records or the Dropbox expanded to the point where we can handle all of the office and cabinet positions yet. But I was noticing in Dropbox earlier today that more and more of the records keepers are populating all of the boxes in there so that we have more of that information. But I don't have it at my fingertips, but it should be available within probably the next week. You'll be able to go to the Republic website, and all of those 38 states that were have been given the updated information will be good links to go to, sir.
And Joseph, I would say this: if you send an email to questions at the Republic when it's back up, I will send you the contact for the President's Secretary of Agriculture, so we can please get you connected in that regard. Okay. You're
also, Rick, I spoke to you, I think, a couple of weeks ago on a call and asked about my wife, who is not a citizen yet, and of whether it was possible for her to enter into the Republic. Now, you said no right now because we haven't figured out that part of the immigration type of thing, but you gave me an email address to send you an email to remind you about that question.
Yes, sir.
And it was kicked back to me in email. I got a email, Damon, whatever they call that thing that said.
Oh, Mailer Damien, yes. Mailer Damien.
So
that might have been when the system was up
or down.
I
probably wrote it down wrong or so.
Okay.
If you could give me that email address, that'd be eternally grateful.
Okay. Are you ready, sir?
Yes.
It is R, for my first name, middle name Rick, it's R period, and then the last name Weiner, W-I-N-E-R, and then
right.
Your little at symbol,
mm-hmm.
And it's Republic of the United States, plural, .org. You want to read it back to me, sir?
R.Weiner at republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Yes, sir. That should get to me no problem now.
Terrific. Thank you.
You're very welcome, sir. And what I'm going to do is forward that on to the Immigration Committee, which they're working on that. And so I call it crash people. In other words, we've had a few people that have been our crash people in the Dominion Services area. So I hope you and your bride don't mind. We're actually going to use you as not necessarily a test case, but the case on how we can do that exact thing, sir.
Terrific. I will get that email to you as soon as I possibly can.
Very good, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Robert, I was ready to go to the next question unless you have something else.
Mark Gardner, good evening.
Hi, this is Mark Gardner. I have a question for Jay Jones, Justice Jones. Is there going to be a limit on the number of people per region or per city or county or however you're dividing this up on the Dominion Services plan there?
So we don't
oversaturate the area.
Okay, we really don't have a limit right now because there's not been a flood of people, you know, asking to be processors. I think probably the most we've had in any class is 50, and they've come from different states. So until we reach a point that may look like it, I know you're meaning like territorial, right, or being overcrowded with processors?
Correct, yeah.
I don't ever see that happening because, I mean, just in North Carolina, we got 300,000 people. So, you know, it may become a problem one day, but I don't think that's going to be anytime soon because, like I say, right now, across the state, there's only like 250. And that's 50 per state. So, you know, that's just not a lot of people yet.
And how many people is the minimum number to be trained for any processor to come out and do a training? Is there a minimum number?
Well, I know I was checking a plane ticket for Alabama. It's going to cost me $600 just to go out there. So, you know, it's not that we're trying to make a lot of money on this or anything like that, but everybody's got to work and be paid and expenses be paid. So, really,
right.
What I try to tell people is at least get five people that are paying to come, and I think everybody could possibly pay their expenses, and you know, because I'll be gone 4 days from my work, and you understand what I'm saying? It just costs.
Sure.
I mean, it costs to travel plus motels and eating. Hopefully, when we go there, somebody will take us in and and room and board us. But, you know, that
right.
may not always happen. So, but I'd say at least five people would be fair.
That makes sense. I have, Robert, if I could update on the membership processing system, is that all right?
Sure, keep it brief, and you can, sure.
Yeah, very short. Right now, the National Membership Processing System and Communication System, the template is all done, the mind map. Several states are looking at it and trying to implement some of it on their own. Bernie Schock is estimating that in about 2 weeks he might have a prototype up and running to demonstrate, and I'll be calling the key people on that for the demonstration. So it's progressing, and I just wanted to put that out there so everybody knows that what's going on with that system, you know. And I yield the floor. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mark. We'll at another time we'll have you on, and you can actually give a presentation on it to the Republic Roundtable.
Okay. Look forward to that. Thank you.
Very good.
What was the subject that he just spoke of? I was writing my notes.
Oh, on the mind map for the membership recruiting
recruiting. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I needed
and
for
the,
my notes
the
here.
Infrastructure, the electronic infrastructure and networking to put that in place.
Very good, sir. We're going to the next question, which is 864 number. David Thompson is what I have. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, it is.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. This is all really, really good stuff. I've been waiting for this. I just got through paying my taxes and confronted the guy. Well, I don't know about confronted him, but asked him about the land patent. I'm listed as a tenant. And he said, I know just what you're talking about. And I says, well, how can I receive my land? And he says, well, you can't. So,
of course, he doesn't want you to know. That's his paycheck. Why would he tell you?
Really? So I would like contact information for a processor that could be in, South Carolina, Pickens County.
Oh, that's Jay Jones. He's real close to you there.
Ah.
Robert, I tell you what, if people will, when they go to dominionservice.org,
yes,
and they're filling out that form, if they'll just in the comment box, because I may need to put a place on there for city and state, but if they'll just tell us the city and state that they're from, we can hook them up with a processor a lot quicker, because other than that, we have to email them back and find out where they are, you know. So
what was that email again?
And, Dominion Service, service.org.
Yeah, if you could update your template, Jay, that would be great. I noticed when I signed on it, I actually thought to put in my city and state, but that's a great idea.
And there's
it says it up in there in the instructions, but it's...
Who reads those?
Read the instructions.
Yeah.
give me a box to fill in.
That's right. There you go.
Hey, Robert, I'm going to put you on the spot. What does the word dominion mean? Noun.
What does the word dominion mean?
Right.
To take dominion would be to...
That's the verb,
rule,
yes.
Oversee.
That's the verb use. Yep, there you go. The actual definition that we're working off of is the power or right of governing and controlling, i.e. sovereign authority. So that was why they came up with the name Dominion in the first place, which I thought was apropos.
That's good. Thank you for that linguistic and what do you call it when you go through the dictionary? Lexicon lesson.
Yep. Okay, I'm ready. David, were you done?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad I asked you then. I was ready to go on. Sorry.
Well, I've got a piece of paper here, on my computer, that starts with the heading of all capital J-U-R-A-T.
Yes, sir.
And then it comes down, State of South Carolina, County of Beaufort, Acknowledgement, Acceptance of Deed.
Yes.
And two more paragraphs, and there's only two pages. Is this something that I'm... Is this legal?
it is possibly part of it. I don't know exactly without looking at it what you have in your hand. In other words, the whole process means that you're going to gather together several things having to do with your warranty deed, your land patent, and that process of how to find that information and therefore bring it forward is what Jay is training the processors to do.
Okay, so it looks like I need to talk to a processor.
Yes, sir, please.
Okay, thank you very much. I yield the floor.
Very good, thank you.
Very good, and that brings up a really good cautionary note, too. You know, as we move forward, I think it's really good to work together to get breakthroughs extract ourselves from the corporation. And,
yes, sir.
So as much as that's possible, hopefully, Jay, you're going to be putting some sort of blog or some sort of way that folks can talk to each other.
Yes, absolutely. And one thing that we want to do too, Robert, is if people get their grants and they could just send us a copy of those, because someone 5 miles down the road might have been included in that same grant, you know, because sometimes they were thousands of acres. And we're actually going to be putting together, hopefully, a site that has map layover.
Yes, prepared to have a floor.
Yes.
Hold on just a second. Let him finish his thought here. Go ahead, Jay.
Yes.
Okay. So we could keep up with the grants and make it easier for some people that may not can find theirs or need help finding theirs. We may already have it. So.
Okay. So you're saying that there's some that if people are living in the same community, you might get a grant released and
yeah,
into.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Right. If I get my grant, then I live in a subdivision, and so I would have 200 homes right here that I could actually do land patents for and not have to go research a grant.
Now, you're bringing up I'm not even sure I'm going to ask. Well, I'm going to ask it, and you can certainly answer it if you know how. What's to stop somebody with less than good intentions going in, getting that release for those 200 homes, and then doing something to take that title at the land patent level from each of those folks, or making them pay them for it or something like that.
At some point, the deed has had to be in your name before you can actually take possession.
Say that to me again. I didn't hear the words you said. At some point what?
I said at some point the deed has to be in your name before you can take possession of it.
Okay, very good. Okay.
So it actually breaks down to, Robert, your claim. You have to be able to prove your claim. You have to have a mortgage. You have to have a relative. You have to have something that shows that you have a claim. And generally that claim is only going to be a small portion of that large land grant area or land patent area. But the land patent itself simply gives us meets and bounds that we will break it down to your little piece of property, even if it is as small as a duplex.
Okay, well, that's good. That's excellent. A lot to learn in this process here.
Yes, there is. Oh, yeah. That's why it's taking us so long, huh, Jay?
That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're still learning. But...
Okay. Brian? Our caller, we unmuted here. Brian, you have the floor, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. It's Brian Dubois. We're the state of Oklahoma. I'm a member with the assembly that was conducted by the president in Oklahoma. I signed an ASR through that body, and that body was appointed according to the tape that is out there on PatriotsUnitedNow.com. And in there stated that that was the one in Oklahoma assembly that was there. And since that time, there has been an election that was formed there in order to fill the required seats that are listed in the Republic's Bureau, one of those which is an Article 3 court. That is the position in which I have been assigned. I have... Because there were some direct challenges made by many members down here, there was a petition that was referred to the Supreme Court to the attention of Nathan Tichy and Justice Gorla. And I have the read receipt here on my desktop now, dated February the 14th, 2012. It's been brought to my attention by all of the elected officials and many, many, many other members out there. Across there, they've asked that I be a spokesman for them on this because we're at a loss of what to do. It appears that there's been some temporary action taken by the Supreme Court in an effort to try to await a final resolution in the matter. However, we're concerned with some of the language in this because it actually specifically names the very members recognized in the assembly and directs them to stop functioning in its entirety. And I know this is certainly not the proper place to do it, but I did want to make sure to get my correct contact information on file with you that, you know, maybe the justices could contact me so we can get some further instruction on how the state should proceed, because at this point, Oklahoma would be officially stopped, the way I understand this directive.
Well, Brian, I don't see either Justice Gorla or Nathan Tichy on this call right now. If either of you are on, please chime in. Otherwise, I'm going to defer you to Chief Justice Jay Jones, and he can take your contact information, if that would be okay.
The order is specifically listed by Nathan Joe Tichy. The petition is specifically pending before Nathan Joe Tichy. And the read receipts that I received were from Justice Gorla and Justice Peachy. I'm not familiar with Justice Jones. But I'm more than welcome to work with anybody there. But at this point, I may be completely out of line here. But I want to say that I appreciate all the wonderful things that people have said about the state of Oklahoma, and it is very true. And we will defend the Bible and the Constitution to the end. There's no question about that. I want that to be very, very clear. But the specific language in this, it says that the said defendants, which I'm not going to mention any names, but I'm telling you that those are the uniform elected officials by 102 members that signed an ASR in the open assembly that day. But I will not mention their names on this call. It would be inappropriate. But the directive clearly states, said defendant shall forthwith cease and desist all acts of pretense at functioning as an Oklahoma government and all efforts to elicit recognition by the Republic for the United States of America of their separate substitute government and assemblies. This order is to continue into effect until an official determination is struck by this court, reserving the right to consider any congressional decisions, hearings, and investigations of the Oklahoma issues on why there are at least three or more groups positioning themselves as provisional state government. And it was issued on March the 7th, 2012. And it was directed to the entire state of Oklahoma, but it specifically names the members that were recognized during that assembly. And now, according to that video, which is in full length out there at PatriotsUnitedNow.com, the words of the president, which I've heard echoed more and more and more times over inside these republics out here and are listening, and I have to tell you that all these members are listening because they're looking for direction to where we stand. Because the language of that would seem to me that Oklahoma has been officially declared null and void by this language. Now, I may be misunderstood, but if I am, then I would certainly need to be corrected, and we're willing to accept any instruction on that. But I truly believe that we need some direction on that, sir. And so if there's any guidance we can give, we would appreciate it.
So, Brian, I'm going to give Justice Jones an opportunity to respond to you here, if that's okay.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Robert. I missed about half of this first conversation because I've got some people over and we're doing something. But just to let him know, we are looking at that case. It has been brought to the desk of Justice Peachy, and we are looking at that. So right now it would be premature to really say anything.
I do agree.
If he would, if I could give him my email, I'll give him my email, and then we can correspond separately after this call, if that would be okay.
That would be great, because currently, we're not really getting any official communication back, so
right.
We've been patiently waiting for it.
The server has been down for the last few days, actually, so nobody's
and
been
able to mention that, but I just know that the read receipt for the petition that was previously submitted, I may be of the opinion that you may actually have two separate opinions up there floating around.
Brian, if I could just ask you to get the contact information from Jay, and because it really is something that's within the scope of the judicial branch, and it's not fair to the folks of Oklahoma or to air it in front of the entire republic when you can get that resolution there. So. Go ahead, Jay. Give him your contact information, would you please?
It's justice.jones. Okay, I'm sorry.
Justice.jones.
At republicoftheunitedstates.org.
Spelled all the way out in lowercase?
Yes, uh-huh.
You said .org?
That's correct. Justice.jones at republicoftheunitedstates.org.
All right, sir. I'll certainly make sure that I gave you my contact information here so that we know.
Yeah, just send me that email and I'll have all your information.
And Brian, I've got it noted here, so that I'll make sure that he gets your contact information because I do have it in the Dropbox.
Well, I would have certainly hoped that, sir. And I with that deal before, and I apologize for any inconvenience, but I have to tell
you're
little conversation, sir. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Brian.
That's fine, Brian, and I get it that you need to have it known that your voice is being heard and that's being acted on. So,
at the moment, we have a panic in Oklahoma because many officials received this today, electronically. Some feel that they they want to question the authenticity of it, and I don't think they should. And I've advised them of that, but at the same time, I feel that they're at a limit to where they cannot, they feel uncomfortable with speaking after having received that. And I think they may be in that manner, you know.
Okay, anything that's been done unlawful can certainly be undone. It's not a, you know, we're not there yet, and so it's, I mean, it's not gonna be a matter of life and death right now. I know it hurts and all that, but anything that's not lawful will be undone, and anything has to be done by due process. So that's where a lot of people are not following the rules.
Sir, and I agree with that, sir. And I think that, you know, we just want to make sure that we actually have the correct channel to be heard in, I guess, would be the point I'm getting at. Because, you know, if our petition has been lost in the mail process and something else is there, we at least need to have the benefit of answering in that proper proceeding.
That's right.
So that there is a full record, sir.
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's exactly
I think
right.
That is the concern of the people, is that, you know, we feel like that, you know, the president put an awful lot of effort into coming all the way down here to Oklahoma. And, you know, he put a lot of time into this. And I think that everybody had more than a fair opportunity in that assembly to speak. But they did not lose the right, of course, before the Supreme Court, I would believe. And no one does.
That's
absolutely right, Brian.
Why, sir? I'll yield the floor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brian. All right, our next caller in the queue is 605, RNS Alexander.
Yes, thank you very much. This is Roger Alexander from Rapid City, South Dakota. I'm a state senator, and I just have a technical question here. Our de facto senator, John Thune, and our representative, Kristi Noem, took an oath to the Constitution, but they've signed papers, my understanding, with the corporation up there in Washington. How do they stand with their position? Does it make it null and void? And that was my question, and I yield. Thank you.
It's not clear to me what your question is. Who are these? Are these, when you say they're your representatives, are they representatives of the Republic, or are they representatives in the de facto?
They're representatives in the de facto. They're up in Washington. They represent South Dakota currently.
Okay. And so what are you asking about that then?
So their position right now, because they took an oath to the Constitution for their position in the de facto,
right.
But when they went to Washington, they signed papers with what we consider the corporate structure up there. Does that make their position right now null and void?
What papers are you saying they signed? I guess I'm not clear what those are.
That's what my understanding is. When they go to Washington, they have to sign all these papers with Congress up there and all their paperwork. Are you
Robert,
following
I think
any
I can
of that
answer,
or what?
Yeah, I think I can answer that for him, Robert, if I may.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What through the research that we've done, sir, is that we found out that the oath to the Constitution was modified. And it's actually an oath to the office, which made that whole legislative branch become part of the executive branch. And so we have lost the three branch of government in the de facto. So you are right, sir. They do not represent you. They have actually become part of the corporation. And that's the big problem with the de facto government right now, the U.S. corporation. Is that you do not have representation, and the combination of those contracts that they're signing and the defective oath that gives an oath to an office rather than directly to the Constitution became the very problem that Nathan was able to find in about 1882, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, and I yield.
Very good.
Our next caller has no name. It's area code 989. Good evening.
They fell off of the board there.
All right. Well, our next one in the queue is Krug, Nicholas Krug. Good evening.
Yeah, this is Nick Krug from Arkansas, Senator.
Hi.
I just have a quick question on the video that's being made that they're going to put on YouTube and us be able to use for presenting to the people. I was wondering what the status was on that, if anybody might know.
Yes, sir. I can answer that if I may, Robert.
Go ahead.
Nick, did you say you're from Arkansas?
Yes, sir.
The current status is that we have a gentleman that is consolidating all of the video footage that was taken. He feels like it'll take him the entire month of March to edit it and put it together in a DVD format that can then be broken up and uploaded for YouTubes and things like that. So we're looking around between the 2nd and 5th of April to announce that that's available, sir.
Okay, one more question. Is that going to be available to where we can put it on DVD, to where we can present it to people like a handout also?
That is our intention, yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I yield the floor.
Very good,
Thank
sir.
You, Nick. Our next caller is our farmer friend from up in North Dakota, Monty Olson. Good evening, sir.
Yes, I have a question concerning the land patents. If we have an abstract, do we still need to go back to BLM and grants and stuff like that, or can we just start with our abstract, or do the abstracts not start early enough? I yield.
That's not quite enough, Monty. There are actually several pieces to it. That is one important piece. So don't get rid of it. There literally will be several pieces that you'll have to get together. There are several names that will be laid out there. I can't remember them all, but I mean, there's the plat. Jim, you're still on here. Give him the names of the possible things that he's going to come across. Jim Fitzgerald, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here. I'm sorry, Rick, I was working. What is the question?
The question that Monty says, Monty, would you ask your question again? What do you have?
I have an abstract on my farm, and I have the farm paid for. But is that sufficient to get the land patent, or do I have to go back to the BLM and grants and all that kind of stuff also?
I think it would be wise to go back to the original land patent and bring it forward. Now, the abstract, does it classify you as an owner?
I have not read it. I have not read it lately, and I just had a stroke last week. I would have to take some time to go through it, but I do know I own the farm. I have clear title to it.
Well, the first thing you're going to have to do is read it, because if the abstract, I mean, we all feel like we've owned stuff in America. I mean, they still talk about it. You know, that's one of the great things, is that we own our land. Well, we in fact do not. It says on many of the documents that you're a tenant. It says right on it. So if your abstract says that, that's what you have to look for. If it says you're an owner, then that's pretty clear. That's probably has been brought forward. But if you're unclear, go back to the BLM. Sometimes, like I went on my property here, and I live in a subdivided neighborhood in Phoenix, the last land patent was in, I think it was 1892, for a section, 640 acres. So that's the last thing out there. So it's easy to bring that forward and for my little pimple on that 640 acres and describe it. So if you go back to the land patent, let's say it was 640 acres or a full section. How many acres is your place?
Mine's only 280 acres. Needed.
Okay, so it's like a quarter section, maybe,
yeah.
Something like that. So you'll be able to find that. Just go, you know, I think that prudence would say, one, read your abstract. Two, if you're unclear, go back and get the original land patent from the BLM. I was able to look on the BLM site and track down right to this piece of property. The problem was it had a little note in there that says they couldn't print an online copy. So So when we went down to the BLM office here in Phoenix, there happens to be one here, you could see why, because it was so old it was hard to read. They did have a copy of it, and it's really, I'm lucky to be able to read that it was 1892 or 3 or whenever it was. So you might be able to print right online in a lot of instances the documents you need from the original one and print it in a PDF format, and you'd have it. Others, you're going to have to go down there and get a copy. But start by reading your abstract and really look hard for that word that might say you're a tenant.
Thank you, sir, and I yield.
You're very welcome, Monty. And one other thing, I found my list. There are going to be all sorts of things that we're going to run across on this nation. There will be plats, there will be subdivisions, there will be sections, like Jim mentioned, quarter sections. What we're after is meets and bounds, and we have a pretty definitive list and process on how to get you to that. So, Monty, that is an important piece that you've got, but we'll be able to lead you either back to the Ladd patent or forward wherever you need to go. But where he's saying start by reading, looking for the word owner or tenant is one of the most important pieces, sir.
Well, I thank you. And I know that an oil company just within the last month destroyed one of the original landmarks in the original surveying of my property, the only one that I knew that was easy to obtain. And so it may make it harder. Thank you. I yield.
When you say just destroyed the physical point, the physical brass cap or whatever it was?
It was an original rock, and they went in there with a dozer and a ripper and just ripped and roared and totally molested the area. Made a road over a prairie trail.
Okay, that's but with modern, you know, surveying and stuff with GPS, they can find that point, because it's probably, if it's described in meets and bounds with a northing and easting, it won't be a problem. If it was described like they did often back in the 13 colonies, and they said, you know, walk 30 paces to that rock fence and then turn over to the oak tree, you got something different. But if they out west, it was a lot of sections and townships and from a meridian line, and it was laid out. It is probably reasonably described in northings and eastings, bearings and directions and so forth. So if they remove the rock or not, you can probably reasonably find the point.
Thank you, and I yield.
Very good, Monty. Robert, I'll take you to Washington if you're ready.
Sure.
We have a 509 area code.
Yes, this is Don, Senator Don Ford, Washington Free State.
Hey, Don.
Don Ford, I owe you a phone call, don't I? I got a message from Senator Geiger to do that. I am sorry I had been buried in getting the server back up, but I will call you tomorrow, sir.
That's okay. My question was, I don't quite understand yet how the properties coming back into the Republic, how it's going to help fund the states or the country. You know, people bring their property and register it back into the Republic. I just haven't heard much of the details yet regarding that, but I did hear them say that it will help fund our government, and I just wondered if someone could elaborate a little bit on that.
Sure. The short answer is that it doesn't really bring it into the Republic. It's already here in the Republic. It brings you up to full ownership. And by doing that, that gives you the most power by Constitution that any man or woman being walking on the land has. And so it's never left the Republic. It's never left the United States. And so the only thing that we're doing is bringing constitutionally forward the land patents that were laid out and therefore granted or patented to the people. Now, what that gives us in the way of funding and ability, by giving you full power to be able to vote and therefore remove that piece of property from the county tax assessors, you will no longer be able to be attacked by those various agencies because you were under adhesion contract and you had literally given your land away without full knowledge. Does that help answer the question, sir?
Yes, it does. And then I had, maybe I misunderstood, but I had heard at some point that once we have that full control of our property, that the Republic would somehow monetize that and use that in some way to generate resources for the Republic. Maybe I've misunderstood that process.
There is a separate mortgage process that could be done, and it will not attach the land again. That will be full ownership to you. But there is a system that is being put together that, of course, will be have to approved by Congress to be allowed to be used. But that is actually separate. It doesn't have anything to do with pledging or attaching your land, as I understand it, sir.
I see. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, and look forward to your call when you have time.
Very good, Don. Thank you.
Well, it looks like our last call is the one who got dropped from area code 989. So glad you made it back on. Hi.
Hi. Am I here?
Yes, I can hear you. Who's this?
Okay. All right. I got dropped. This is Randy Hoppus. I'm calling from Michigan. And I had sent in an email back in February 28th, and I had some questions about in regards to the Republic. And I'm reading through this and I'm finding information. I'm thinking this is the best thing that happened since, sliced bread. But the questions I had, they said that they were going to be answered last week Thursday, and they didn't get to them. And, this email was signed by Robert, I guess it's Zulanga.
That's me. So tell me which email it is, Randy.
Okay.
What's the subject line say?
Well, the subject line says just Republic questions. And I was thinking about joining but have questions.
Oh, okay. Let me see. Well, go ahead. Why don't you ask them? Why don't you ask?
Okay.
You've got the
perfect time to do that.
Okay.
I just thought I'd take a quick second. I'm not going to read the whole email, but my main concern is if I sign up for the Republic, then what? And what will change in my life? I mean, the evil, corrupt, de facto government is still there. So what will change? I mean, I'm all for this. This all seems good and it seems real. But if that de facto government is still there, what is going to change?
Great question, Randy. Great question. Here's would be my first one, and it's in the way of a story. A little girl's on the beach, and there's a whole bunch of starfish that are washed up onto the beach. And she takes the starfish and she throws it back into the water. And she goes along with another starfish, she takes it and she throws it back in the water. And her little brother comes up to her and says, "Why are you doing that, Mary? There's so many starfish here, it won't make any difference." And she just smiled at him and turned to him and said, "It made a difference to that one." And I say that to say this. There are over 300 million Americans who are in bondage to a corporation. Little by little, people are waking up and going, you know what? I don't want to participate in this game anymore. This is worse than we had when we threw tea into the Boston Tea Party, from the Boston Tea Party. So we are waking up to say enough already. And as we wake up, we go through a process of going, you know what? I've been entrapped in a number of areas in my life, from the birth certificate to a marriage license to a driver's license to a bank account. All of the things that I think are necessary to live my life have actually entangled me in contracts. And so I go, you know what? I'm going to stop this process and start to wake up and see what it means to live free. And Americans all across the country are waking up and learning what it means to live free. So what does it mean when you join? Well, It means that you're making a statement to yourself and to those in community, those in the body politic of your state, that you care to make a difference, that you will stand shoulder to shoulder with one another and do what it takes to orderly build the necessary representative form of government that our founders laid out for us. It takes hands and feet. It takes willing folks with skill sets. On this call, we've heard of justices. We've heard of comptrollers and accountants needed. We see people who are skilled with budgets are needed. We need people who have the patience to listen to one another in Congress and to come to a meeting of the minds in creating bills and legislation. We're starting from the grassroots saying we're going to honor one another and we're going to build this properly from what has been laid out for us by our founders.
Okay. Well, so actually you're looking for basically ground troops to go out there and do the work, right?
It's participatory sport, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And we want to see change and we're willing to participate and be part of it.
Okay. So, if I sign up and I do the thing, I'm not automatically going to have, the de facto government pounding on my door and saying, okay, now, with all their unlawful statutes and everything they have, they're going to breathe down my back, down my neck. I just looking at it is this something where, okay, now all of a sudden I'm going to start having a lot of problems with stuff?
Well, that's a personal call. It's a journey. It's a journey, and it begins with a first step. It's like, yeah, this sounds like what I'm called to. For me, I was actively involved in local politics in my state, and I heard a whisper, literally whisper, of this group meeting, the Arizona Assembly's meeting at some bank building, and you just got to go. And so first time I went, well, what's it about? Oh, nobody knows. You just got to go. And I'm like, well, if they're not confident enough to say what they're doing, I'm not going. And then the next week I found out that really wasn't it. This person was just afraid. And so I went along and I just was compelled. Something inside of me moved. I would say it's the Holy Spirit. I would say it's the destiny that God's called me to. And I'm like, yeah, this is it. All the stuff I was doing, trying to make change with my local congressman, was climbing up the wrong ladder. I was trying to change the corporation. I'm going, that's not going to happen. These guys who are all thinking they make their oath and they come from the Tea Party, and I came from the Tea Party, thinking that that's how the change was going to happen. I just realized it was too little, too late, too much headwind from something which is totally immovable to try to play the game their way. And I believe God has found and birthed a solution through this republic, and it's just exciting. For me, I just speak for myself, it's so exciting to participate in an epic, this is an epic historical event that's going on, and I can only invite you to participate in it. What state you're in? You're in Michigan, right?
Michigan, yes.
Okay. Rick, do you have the contact folks up there that he could plug in with, or at least kind of come along and start talking to folks up there?
In Michigan, yes. Have you got his email, Robert?
I looked for it in here, and I apologize, Randy. I don't see it. You said it was questions, and you said it was the 28th?
Yeah, the 28th.
And I'm not seeing it in there. Maybe it's in my question box.
If you would mind sending it to me, Randy, I will forward it on to Bonnie and the people there in Michigan that can help answer more of your questions. Oh, you found it. Okay.
Rick, I found it. I'll send it.
Okay. We'll get this over to you then, Randy, with the people in Michigan that are in place, and they can answer more of your questions, sir.
Okay, sounds great. Really appreciate it.
I'm going to put Michigan in the subject line for you, Rick.
That'd be great.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
Well,
all right,
thank
Randy.
You for taking your time, sir.
Thanks,
right,
and yes, Jay, you want to say something?
I just pulled up ABC Nightline, and they do have a piece on the internet, but it also says that they will be airing it tonight at 11:35 on ABC Nightline. So,
ABC Nightline tonight?
Yes. Now that's my time. I'm on Eastern time, so that's in about 10
minutes. 2 minutes. You better get on there.
Very good. Well, Jay, how would you like, because that was our last caller in the queue, how would you like to close us? Oh, no. We have
enough. Got one more.
One more. Come on. So, Jay, you can be dismissed. I'll find someone else to close us in prayer, but thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna stay on in case it's a question for me or something.
Okay. Badger from Skype. You're on, sir. Or ma'am.
I just like to address this. Last historical thing I saw was started with the 1215, whatever, the barons held old King John down and made him sign, what do you call that thing? I don't remember. But anyway, what you got to go back to is whenever William conquered England in October 6th, 1066. That's where it all. With that, I'll yield.
Very good, sir. I think what you're saying, you're going clear back past the Magna Carta. Is that what you're saying, sir?
Yes, the Magna Carta. You're correct.
Okay, yeah. Great. Yeah, in our particular situation, what happened when the Constitution of 1789 and then when it was properly ratified by the 13 states in 1791, it overcame the Magna Carta. And then in the ensuing years after that, they put together what was called the land patents or land grants. And that's mostly what we've been speaking of tonight, sir.
Yes, I know. And well, my family had a land grant from King James.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not able to find it, but I know he did. They did. You know, we were watchers of the tobacco.
Oh,
very good, sir. Well, like I said,
which state is that? Which state are you in there?
I'm in Illinois right now, you know. Family come from, like, Virginia, now, that neck of the woods.
Okay.
But, you want to pay attention to what happened in, like I said, October 6, 1066, when William, they called him over in Normandy, they called him William the Bastard, Duke of Normandy, and he crossed the canal and killed old King Harold, and that name's William the Conqueror. Look at the back page on your, if you got any, like, a Black's Law Dictionary, starts out, William. Then it lists the regal years, that's how they put it.
Yep, that's exactly right, sir. That's what we've been able to research, and you're right. We came out of the regal years and went to the year of our Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir. All right, sir. Any other questions, sir?
No. Good night, and God bless you all.
Well, thank
good
you
night
so much.
God bless you, sir.
Thank
well,
you.
Rick, unless you have anything else, if Jay's still there, I'd like to have him close us out because it's we're at 2.5 hours now, which has been a long night.
No, I'm good. Go ahead, Jay.
I am still here, and I told someone the other day, I said, you know, if we really, if we had the guts to take it into the court, we could all just take a copy of the Bible and say, God gave us dominion of the earth, and that's all we need, and that's our land grant. So,
if you could speak up just a little bit, Jay, during the closing prayer, you're a little bit weak in the background, sir.
Okay, all right. All right, well, let us pray. Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for all the information that has been given and received. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive what you're pouring into us, Lord. We also ask that you just give us protection and guidance and that we by your hand, accomplish your will and your way in this life. We thank you for all that you're doing in the lives of the people in the Republic. We ask that you'll touch those that are with us and those that are not with us, Lord. We bless them now. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all very much for being on the call and participating. God willing, we'll see you all next week, and we should have notice of it up and running with the website or the email server back up again. Good night, all.
Good night, all.
chasing down a memory of the way things used to be. Kids playing underneath an old street light, knowing they were safe when they laid down at night. I'm looking for something I ain't seen in a while. I'm looking for a factory where a man can feed his family, not worried about them moving it south, closing the doors and shutting her down tomorrow. I'm looking for America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Seems like I just woke up one day and it was gone, long gone. But I know in my heart it's still out there. Can somebody please tell me where? I'm looking for America. I'm searching for an old church steeple where inside you'll find people who live their lives unashamed, and they ain't afraid to say God's name out loud. Yeah, I'm looking for America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Seems like I just woke up one day and it was gone, long gone. But I know isn't free, and I guess it's up to you and me to find it. Yeah, we